Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Secure Your Life, Understanding the Importance of Credit and What It Means to Your Financial Future. Are you living in a financial nightmare? Learn how to fix what is broken. Don't cuss, don't fuss, credit is a must. I am your host, Diamond Taylor. I would like to welcome you. We have a great show in store for you all. I would like to open up the chat room. If you'd like to join us in the chat room, if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to sign in the chat room. Now it is open. If you'd like to call in as a guest, our phone number for the guest call-in is 347-884-9343. Again, that is 347-884-9343. Let's get started. We have been talking about getting off of this financial nightmare. A lot of us have been affected negatively by what has gone on with the economy and the job market, and it is truly affecting our ability to pay our bills, and a lot of us are living off of our credit. And some of us are trying to rebuild and start anew and start off with trying to get new credit after we have damaged our credit. Then there are some of us who are actually in college and we're new to the financial game. You probably have your first real job and you need to have some advice on how to get started with establishing credit. So this show actually gives you tips on everything from getting your personal finances together, actually trying to establish credit. If you have damaged your credit, we talk about how to fix that, what's on the credit report, what exactly are the credit bureaus. So this show kind of covers almost anything dealing with your personal finances and credit. Later on in the show, I'm going to talk about this amazing credit repair class that is 6 weeks long, and it kind of walks you through the whole process of fixing or repairing, I should say, your credit. And then we also have another class that's getting ready to start about how to track your personal finances. But we're going to go a little bit, talk a little bit about those things and any other questions that you might have in regards to your personal finance, how to establish credit, or even how to repair your credit. So I would like to tell you once again that the chat room is open, as, along with our guest line that is also open, and the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Let's get started and talk a little bit about how to understand credit and dealing with debt. And a lot of times I think that we don't really understand what kind of effect, whether it's negative or positive, that happens when we're living off of our credit. And if you're having a hard time dealing with your credit, then I'm pretty sure you've heard of the collection agencies calling your house and bugging you about the fact that you have not paid your bills on time or you have not paid them at all. And a little bit about debt relief and how to fix what is broken. So here's an example. If you are in a situation where you have income coming in and you are living on your credit or off of your credit, one of the things that I suggest is that you first, before you even pick up the credit card, you need to look at and track your spending. Look at your bank statements. And for those of you who do not have a bank account or account with a credit union, those are one of the most important things that you need to acquire. You need to look, if you do have a bank account, I need you all to look at 3 months of your bank statements and take a highlighter and highlight anything that is not a bill. And then you can actually see, if you go through your bank statements, how much actual disposable money you really have. Believe it or not, we actually do have more money than we realize when we're spending our money on things that we're not tracking. It's easy for us to lose account of where the money is going. So if you look at your statements and you see that you spent $5 for lunch at McDonald's, or you stopped at a Starbucks or some gourmet coffee house and you bought a gourmet coffee, well, those things add up. And believe it or not, once you look at your statement, all of the highlighted parts that were not bills, you add those things up, you will realize exactly where your money has gone. And then you have to ask yourself the difference between a need and a want. This is how, what is most important about dealing with your own personal finances. Just because it is on sale does not necessarily mean that you should buy it at the time. It is more important to buy things that you need than it is for you to buy them just because they're on sale. I always believe that you should get a deal for anything and everything that you buy. Get the best deal possible. But make sure that you get the things that you need first. And getting the things that you need, you can still get bargains for them. And that way, you are thinking wisely. Think ahead of time on your purchases. If there is something that you, even if there's something that you want, if you know that you want that big screen television, shop around. put money aside for it. Look at the three-month statements that you have highlighted and see how much disposable income you actually did have, and take that money and put it aside so that you can actually get the things that you want. But make sure that you take care of the things that you need first. Utilizing your credit wisely will help you not have to repair it later. I'm going to open up the phone lines. If you would like to have a comment or a question that you would like to add, the chat room is also open. So please join us there. The phone number, if you'd like to chime in, is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347. Let me repeat that again. Area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And we do have a caller, caller 815. You are on the air. Hello?
Hello, Diamond. This is Ron. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Great this evening. It's cold, but I'm doing great.
Yes, it is. And we're going to talk about how to save money on your heat and gas and electricity, too, the things and money-saving tips that you can use for that.
Oh, I've got some ideas about that also when you get to that segment. But right now, what I would like to say, a mistake a lot of people make, I think most people are guilty, I'll say a lot of people are guilty of this. The Jones family have a 50 or 60-inch flat-screen TV, so I'm going to get one. They were not even thinking about getting a flat-screen TV until they found out that Jones had one. Then all of a sudden, they've got to have one. But they don't take into consideration how much this thing is going to cost, how long they're going to be paying for it, where the money is going to come from to pay for it, or even trying to figure out what kind of deal they can get on the flat-screen TV that they want.
Right, and that's what's most important. I think a lot of times we get into the impulse buying, and that's where having your credit cards on you at the time can be very dangerous. If you know that you are guilty of impulse buying, then you should leave your credit cards at home. I think that is very important, especially given the economic times, and everybody knows their own personal financial situation. If you are guilty of being an impulse buyer, then you need to sacrifice some things so that you can get the things that you want, but never sacrifice your needs for a want. I think a lot of people make that mistake also. They will sacrifice their needs just to get, like you said, that flat-screen television. And you can't always be like the Joneses because, unfortunately, you don't know what goes on in the Joneses household or what they had to do to acquire the things that they have. So I think a lot of people do end up in that trap. I think really I need to do a show about, and maybe I'll make it this show, about how to not buy into the lay awake plan. You know what I mean by that? Where you sit in stress at night over all of your bills because you did not handle your personal finances correctly. So you're in the layawake plan. Instead of the layaway, you're laying awake worrying about how you're going to rob Peter to pay Paul, and Mary is already mad at you because you already owe them. So I think a lot of us need to get off of the and wake up from the layawake plan and get out of our financial nightmare and actually understand, one, that there is a privilege to having credit, and it's not something that you should take lightly, and it's something that definitely needs to be monitored. You have to be very cognitive of how much your credit limit is and how much you are spending as far as your credit limit. Just because your credit limit may be $2,000, that does not mean that you should charge up $2,000 worth of stuff on your credit cards. Because immediately what happens, the person or the issuer of the card, the company that granted you the credit, goes into a panic that you will not be able to pay. Your debt-to-income ratio goes skyrocket when you max out your credit. So immediately, what was a low-interest rate card, if you've maxed out your limit, becomes a very high-interest rate card. So I think a lot of times we need to look at the fine print. You need to stay away from those teaser rates on those credit card offers. And if you are an impulse buyer, they get you all the time. I'm pretty sure, especially with the holidays coming, you go into the store and they already have a mega sale going on. And then you'll have somebody tell you, if you sign up for a credit card today, that will be an extra 10 to 20 or 30% off. Have you heard of that, Ron?
Oh, yes.
So immediately you go in there for one thing, and you're saying to yourself, especially if you're an impulse buyer, oh, now I just have to have it, and I have to sign up so that I can get an extra 20 to 30% off of my purchase, and it's already a special day that they already discounted everything. We have a special sale in the store. So with the sale going on and the 30% discount, if I open up a charge account with them, then I'm getting over. And then, unfortunately, you need to make sure that the item that you're trying to buy is actually on sale. Because some stores, they may have a mega sale, but what you are trying to purchase may not be on sale. So they use those tactics to get you in so that you can buy something. And they usually put things on sale that you really not necessarily came in there for, nor do you need them. Sometimes you may not even want it, but because the sale is so great, you'll buy it anyway. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that will go, I did not intend to buy this. Matter of fact, I have no use for it, but I couldn't beat the price. The
yeah,
problem
what good
with that
you
is
to purchase something you have no use for if
right.
they gave it to you for free. So what are you doing? What are you going to do with it?
Exactly. So now you couldn't beat the price, but you have an item that you can't use, nor do you need it. So we have to be very careful and retrain ourselves and the way we think about our money and our credit. Because if you abuse it, then you'll lose it later when you really need it.
That is so true. I'll tell you an example of playing games with the percentage games with 20%, 10% off, and an extra 10% off. Okay, you take last let's just shop. Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
Okay, now Barnes & Noble is high. I don't know about their books, but I think they sell the books about the regular price. But I do know their DVDs are high. Their DVDs are very high. And what happens is that some of the DVDs will give you 10% off, and you get an extra 10% off. If you have one of your cards. Now,
okay.
This does not do you any good if you can go, let's say they've got something, they say they've got a movie for $60. They'll have a movie, say, for $60. You can go to Best Buy or Walmart and get the same movie for $40. But they're
that's
offering you 10% off of their $60, well, 20% off if you got the card.
Right.
They're offering you 20% off if you have a card. But if the movie is, they want $60 for the thing. You can get the same movie from Walmart for $40.
That's true, and if you shop online, you might be able to get it even cheaper.
Really?
And you save gas.
Right. Oh, and something else people don't take into consideration. A lot of people, they'll figure, say, okay, I'll save a bundle. I'll go to, okay, there are a lot of places that sell used DVDs.
Correct.
They'll say, okay, I'll save a bundle. I'll go and I'll get some DVDs from a place that sells reconditioned DVDs. There's nothing wrong with those DVDs. They clean, if they're damaged or scratched in any way, they clean them up and they play perfect. Now, but what happens is that they get online when they buy and sell, and so they get online and they'll find out what the value is online, and they base their price on that. But they're paying next to nothing for the movies that they take in.
Okay.
So it's just really just profit for them. But if it's something that you really would like to have for your video library, you can say, there are deals galore to be made. If a movie comes out, becomes available for sale, okay, as a rule, after 12 o'clock, Walmart puts the new movies out sometime after 12 o'clock at night on Tuesday night, which means that if you go in there anytime Wednesday, all the new stuff is on the shelf.
Okay.
What I do, I'll go to Walmart, I'll check their prices. Then I'll turn around and go over to Best Buy, see what they're doing. And I'll go over to Sam's Club and check them out. And believe it or not, I have made purchases at Best Buy. I've got better deals at Best Buy than at Walmart.
Yes, that's, you have to bargain hunt. It
right.
Is that you can get everything that you want and need, but why should you pay more? That's the biggest thing. You need to make sure that you shop around. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is the five common habits that cost you dearly. And most of us are guilty of a few of these bad habits during our lifetime. Just like eating too much, sometimes we spend too much. And some people are living off from payday to payday. So you need to be very careful and make sure that you get financially fit just like you get physically fit. Paying only the minimum balance on your credit card every month keeps the creditors happy. The reason why it keeps them happy is because they can charge you high interest rates. They can also charge you late fees if you are late. And all of those things add up. You know, credit card companies love to highlight the minimum payment due on the bill. If you look at your bill, they'll only highlight the minimum payment. They'll tell you what your total that you spent. They'll tell you what your balance is and your credit limit, but they will highlight the minimum payment that's due on your monthly bill. And they use this trick to stretch out your payments over years, costing you hundreds and even thousands of dollars. For example, if you purchase something for $5,000 with the monthly minimum payment of 4% and an APR of 18%, will take you 11 years to pay off that purchase. And if you round it up, the total in interest, we're not even talking about how much the purchase was, ends up being $2,875. If you only pay the minimum payment. So, I mean, it's incredible when you think about it that how important it is to make sure that if you're going to use your credit card, that it is something that you need. Because if you need it and you only can afford the minimum payment, then you can stomach that better. But if it was a pair of shoes, that you didn't need because you have 25 pairs that you didn't wear already, then that's hard to swallow. You know, it's one thing to, you know, it's one thing to live on your credit or off of your credit, if you will, based on the things that you need, than it is for you to just haphazardly use your credit and purchase things that are not important, and then you only pay the minimum payment, and then your interest rate that you're paying them ends up being two times or three times more than the original purchase price, which makes absolutely no sense. One of the other things that we do that costs you dearly is buying a brand new car. I understand everybody loves brand new car, that brand new car smell and everything, but the moment that you drive off the lot, it has lost 20% of its value. So you need to look and shop around and see if you can get a previously owned vehicle. And there are lots of good ones out there that will not cost you the same price as a brand new car, but it is a certified good quality car. Doesn't have to be the new make and model. And plus, you don't necessarily want the new make and model because they have not worked out the kinks. How many times have there been a brand new make and model of something and they had to do recalls? Some of them have been major recalls, so that you are end up with a situation that could even cost your life, if you will. It's not worth the expense. And then when you do, if you do purchase a new car, make sure that you shop around and get the best price. But the worst thing you could do is make a purchase for a brand new car and you didn't shop around, so they're already going to get you at the high value. And then if you have marginal or weak credit, then they're going to hit you even higher with the finance rates. So here it is, you're trying to buy a car that's brand new, that's going to lose 20% of its value once you drive off the lot. And here's an example. If you brought a brand new, let's say, a SUV for $25,000, and I know that's a stretch because that would be low price, but it depreciates. Depreciation value from a $25,000 vehicle will be $4,000 and some change once you drove off the lot. So you start off with a $25,000 vehicle, and the moment that you drove off the lot, it lost $4,000. The first year of ownership, it loses another $2,000. By the second year, it loses another $2,000. So do you see what I'm saying? When you buy a new car, by the end of the time that you, from the time that you are actually financed for it, financing has gone from 3 years to even 6 years, and I've even heard of people saying that you can finance a car for even longer than that. But the cars are not even lasting that long. So think about the amount of money that you have wasted on just the depreciated value of the car. It loses so fast that it's not even worth the price of you getting it brand new. And heaven forbid if you didn't shop around for it. So, I mean, it's not being cheap just because you decided you were going to get a new car and you opt to get a previously owned vehicle. I think that would be the best route to go, especially if you're trying to monitor and track your finances. Another thing that we do as far as wasting money on things that we don't necessarily need and actually may be bad for us is smoking. Not only is it hazardous to your health, but it's also hazardous to your wallet. Because by smoking one pack of cigarettes a day at the average cost, depending on where you live, is $5.33 a pack. This is a common habit that will cost you almost $2,000 a year. So it's like $1,945 a year. And after 5 years, you've actually smoked dollars worth, $9,700 worth in a year. Not to mention the steep price of health care as a result of you smoking. So it's not only bad for your health, but it's definitely bad for your wallet. So that's another thing. If you're tracking your money, that adds up. It adds up tremendously. Not having actually fuel-efficient appliances can cost you lots of money, which we'll be talking about, like I told you about, money-saving ways on how to keep your utility bills down. That is important, especially if you are struggling financially. You need to cut as many corners as you possibly can. And you need to, the first thing that once the weather starts changing, you definitely need to weatherproof your house. You know, I think, Ron, you were saying that you had some tips on that.
Oh, yes. Okay, here's an idea that I have and I use. Well, my house is pretty tight. But this would work for anybody. You should have, except your kitchen, you should have a thermometer in every room in your house. You don't need one in the bathroom, but the bathroom and the kitchen, you can leave them out. But you can put one out in the hallway, by the door. In every room in the house, you should have a thermometer. And the thing being, most people, they end up in a situation during the winter months, they're going from one room is nice and comfortable, and then the other room is more or less. You know, so if you have a thermometer in each room, you can figure out which room needs to be sealed up more.
Right.
You can figure out a way then of maintaining, getting a temperature that would be equal throughout the house, so you're really spending less on your fuel.
That's definitely true. I mean, it is very important to monitor that. You need to make sure that you are getting your money's worth in as far as making sure that your utilities are correct. Make sure that they're giving you actual bills instead of estimates. Because that's
I've heard some horror stories about that. The people,
right?
How to look at any meters, but they're getting bills.
Right. If you're getting estimated bills, what happens after you're paying on that? But when you actually get the actual reading may be far different than the estimation. So it depends on it could actually bite you in the butt in the long run if you're getting estimated bills, because you're not getting a true reading. And if they take an actual true reading, the reading may be higher than your estimated bills, or it could be the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to refund your money. What they will do is give you a credit, because one of the things that we all know is that you will always have your utilities. Your utility bills is a constant. It's just like your rent is a constant. If you're renting from someone, you definitely is a constant. If you have a mortgage, at least eventually you will pay that mortgage off, but you will always still owe taxes, property taxes. So those are the bills that is definitely going to be a standard. You will always have your utility bills. You will always have to pay for where you live, whether it's a rent or whether it's a mortgage. Those are the things that are the staples of in your bills. That's not going to change. But the thing is that you need to make sure that you're paying the least amount as possible. If you did not get a chance to refinance your house at a lower rate, you need to talk to your mortgage holder and ask for a modification if you can get it, because this is the time and the banks are actually trying Some of them are trying to work with you to see if you can get into a fixed, if you're in a flexible, you need to be in a fixed rate mortgage so that you know exactly how much your mortgage is going to be and it does not fluctuate. And try to stay away from those balloon payments at the end. And I think a lot of times that's why a lot of people have gotten themselves in such big trouble in regards to their mortgages is because, I still call those the teaser rates. They give you so many years at a fixed, and then the other ones are variable rates, so you don't know what the market is going to be. So a lot of the mortgage companies have been forced to try to give their lenders a fixed rate mortgage. So looking into a modification is one of the things that you can do to try to save yourself money. Making sure that you're tracking, like I said earlier in the show, your personal finances is very, very important. Energy-efficient appliances. The government was giving a grant to the stores to give and to the consumers for getting rid of their energy-guzzling appliances and trading them in for energy-efficient appliances, which in the long run will save you a lot of money. Some of the things may be high-end purchases at first, but the long-run return is so great that you can bite the bullet and say, okay, well, I'm going to get rid of this appliance because it is not fuel efficient. My bill is very high from using this, so if I replace it, although the purchase may be a little steep, a lot of the stores are putting those high-end items on sale for a shorter period of time that the government is giving them the go-ahead to do so because they're matching the funds. So I would say that you should take advantage of all of the savings that you possibly can and utilize your credit for things that you need. So that would be something that you would need, and that's a great purchase to use your credit for. And as far as making sure that you cover your windows during the winter with plastic so that you don't have drafts, make sure that you get weather stripping around the doors. That saves a lot of money. That way, if you have gas heat, forced air, anything like that, that all your money is not seeping out of your windows and doors. So those are things that you can definitely do to keep the energy costs down, making sure that you keep your heat on one steady fixed temperature, having a digital temperature gauge that is attached to your thermostat. Actually, it's better than having the manual ones because the manual ones are not fuel efficient because they don't actually regulate the temperature as well as the digital ones. And you can actually set the timing on the digital ones for when you're not at home. You don't have to have your heat blasting when no one's home because you're wasting money there. So if you have it where at night, if you don't want the heat to be high at night because everybody's under covers or whatever, the digital thermostat can be set to a particular temperature that it will stay comfortable. And then if the temperature outside goes below or the temperature of the house goes below a certain thing, then, of course, your thermostat will kick in and your furnace will come on. But you want to make sure that you're not blasting your heat or fluctuating your thermostat because that will raise up your bill. And like Ron said, it is important to have thermometers because that way you can see which rooms are cooler. If you have one room that's really warm and the other rooms that are cooler than the warm room by how many degrees, that may tell you that you have a draft somewhere or that it's not properly insulated in that particular room. And so by taking these tips, you can save a lot of money. Here's another thing, and then I'm going to let Ron come in, and I'm going to open up the phone lines. Ignoring your student loans, that's a bad idea. You graduated, and now you have to pay your student loans, so stop procrastinating because it's going to haunt you. Student loans do not go away. Just like the IRS, they don't go away. Student loans don't go away. So you really need to sit down and figure out the best way or try to negotiate a payment plan to get those student loans under control because they will haunt you and you don't want that to happen. It could actually stop you from getting a lot of things that you want later in life because you still have the student loan debt. And you don't want them garnishing your wages in order to pay it. So it is important so that you can make sure that you're still able to have a good college education and that you still are not so deep in debt years later. So if you get a handle on it right away and keep a tally and do not take out unnecessary loans while you're in school. Because your focus should be on your study. So if you know that you only need a certain amount for tuition and books and room and board, do not take out over the amount that is needed because it's not free money. This is money that you will have to pay back. And now they have it where the students are not the only ones that will be in debt in regards to the student loan. They're making the parents sign also, so which means now your loan becomes your parents' loan also. So you need to keep that in mind, parents, that those of you all who have seniors in high school for this year or even freshmen in college, that those student loans are also going on your credit as well as your child's credit. So you need to make sure that they are not withdrawing or getting a line of credit over the amount that is needed because 6 months after graduation, they are looking for their money. So you can get it deferred, but even with that, you need to keep in mind to try to keep that debt in check. So I'm going to open up the phone lines, and I'm going to let Ron chime in. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Or you can visit us in the chat room. Chat room is open, and you can have any question or comment that you would like us to mention over the air. So go ahead, Ron. I know you were chomping at the bit trying to get some things in.
Okay. Okay. Here's a tip for, your furnace goes out on you, your washer and dryer go out. Here's the tip. See, like your furnace. Get a furnace. It'll cost you a bit more, but in the long run, you save like crazy. Get a larger furnace than you need. Let's say you've got a 6-room house. Get a furnace that will heat an 8-room house. That furnace will not be working nowhere near as hard, so it's going to last longer.
Okay.
It's not going to be working in, and it'd be more efficient, so it'll last longer, it's more efficient, you save money, and besides that, if you decide to enlarge your house, the only thing you have to do then is just run your ductwork.
That is true.
And you're in business. Your dryer, you're replacing them. Do not get a little rinky-dinky washer and dryer. You don't have to go crazy and get one of those huge things that look like a TV or something or looks like something out of a laundromat unless you got a huge family, like the Octomom or somebody like that. But,
right.
Get a big one.
It's worth it. And make sure the one that you do get does have that it is energy efficient, which means it doesn't use as much water. The front loaders are the best because those are the ones that look, you know, like you said, they're not as big as the ones at the laundromat. But the front loaders use less. They use less water.
Uh-huh.
But they get your clothes extremely clean.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that's just a great tip because one, with the front loaders, they don't have the agitator in the middle like, you know, like the ones that top load that has the round agitator where your clothes are going back and forth and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
With the front loaders, it's tumbling just like you see in the laundromat. So it's able to really get all of the clothes because if you notice, there are the newer top loaders with the agitator actually rotates and goes back and forth too, which means all of the clothes are the ones that are at the bottom go to the top. So you actually getting everything equally clean. But the old ones that just go from, you know, from side to side, where the agitator just goes from side to side, a lot of times it doesn't, the clothes don't rotate enough. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
They're not rotating enough, which means some parts of your clothes are getting cleaner than the others, unlike the front loaders where everything is tumbling and getting clean. So I'm not saying that the top loaders don't get your clothes clean because they do, but you want something, if you're going to have to replace appliances, that is definitely energy efficient because in the long run, when you look at your bill, for your electric bill or your gas bill, you want to go, okay, this was a worthwhile purchase.
Here's a suggestion I would make for like when you're purchasing those utilities, shop around. And don't just go in there and just talk to the salesperson. Get some literature. Get some literature to the person. Go home, study that literature again, and then go back.
Right. I mean, you can also go online and get the consumer report.
Right.
Because these people have actually tested the product. They have gotten testimonials. They know what products are worth better than the others. And why, and what's the long-term use. So you really want to be a well-educated consumer because, once again, this is your money. So you should be able to spend it wisely because it is your money.
Oh, here's another good idea. Go to a shop that will give you a service contract.
Oh, definitely.
Now, a service contract on anything, it really don't cost that much.
Right.
It really doesn't cost all that much. And what happens, if something happens to it, hey, they'll send somebody. If it's too big for you to take it to them, they'll send somebody to you.
Right.
And especially, say, like for something like your washer, your dryer, your washing machine. Matter of fact, Sears has a thing where they send it. Okay, it's not gonna. It shouldn't be breaking down, but you get at least once a year. Inspection.
Yes.
They just come out and just give you everything you got a checkup. As a matter of fact,
believe,
in my house, let's see, I'm trying to think of what I don't have a service contract on.
I was about to say when I purchase anything that is electronic, definitely I get a service contract, even on the children's video games, because those things do break down. Sometimes they have computer or mechanical problems. And if you get a contract, a service contract on it, they can be replaced or repaired. So it makes perfectly good sense. It may cost you a little bit more, but it's so worth it because it is better to have, you know, spend the extra money on the onset, you know, in the beginning, than to have something that you spent a lot of money on and it's no longer working, and your only alternative is to spend some more money to replace it. So versus you purchase something and it may cost you $25 to maybe even $100 over for an extended warranty or service contract. I always, like you said, I think that is like the most important thing. And that's why it's important to shop around. So even if something was regularly priced at maybe $500, if you shop around, if you are prepared to pay the $500, but say, for instance, you shop around and you found the same item because you did your due diligence and you shopped around, you can find the same item for maybe $400 or maybe $300, and your service contract may be anywhere between $50 to $75 or even $100, but you are already prepared to pay $500, and it's worth the extra money, and you've already put that extra money aside, and you, on top of a bonus on that, you got the item on sale. So that makes perfectly good sense on how to purchase things that you need or want, get the best price for it, and guarantee some sense of security in yourself as far as that you have a warranty, extended warranty, service contract, and you may have paid for that. But in the long run, those things that you purchased because you wanted the item, you want to make sure that you're securing your purchase. Because who wants to spend a lot of money for something and then, heaven forbid, it breaks down and you have no course of action other than to bite the bullet again and pay the big money to, you know, to replace it.
Hey,
when
Diamond,
it would have been easier, yes.
I have a funny story about service contracts with my mother.
Yes.
Okay, her washing machine she was from Sears.
Okay.
Over the years, she maintained a service contract with it. The only thing that had not been replaced on that washing machine before she finally got around to getting a new one, the only thing that hadn't been replaced was the cabinet.
Oh, wow. So here again, just off of the service contract, she practically had a brand new machine, well, inners of a brand new machine.
Right. Yeah, because the only thing that hadn't been replaced on that thing, because she used to laugh about it, the only thing that hadn't been replaced on that machine was the cabinet. Everything else, I think, had been replaced. I think some of the wiring in there, I'm quite certain that some of the wiring was say like from the original one, but some of the wiring even had been replaced.
Right,
over
like
the years before you finally got around to getting another machine. But another thing that's nice about a service contract is that let's say you get a DVD player. Let's say you get a Blu-ray player. Okay.
A Blu-ray player.
Got a particular model. Okay, now, and it falls apart. Okay, goes to sleep on you.
Okay.
If you take it back. If they don't have your model, they either have to give you something darn near close to that, or you can add a little bit to it and get something above what you originally had. Of course, you'll have to add a few bucks to a new service contract, but that can be renewed. You can work that out, too.
That is true. That is definitely true. I mean, there are, like, countless ways that you can stretch your dollar and save some money, and making sure that you use your money wisely. But as far as, okay, even with your credit, if you have the unfortunate situation where you actually damaged your credit and you're in the process of trying to rebuild, or even if you have declared bankruptcy and you're trying to rebuild, if you've declared bankruptcy, especially if it's a Chapter 7 and you've been discharged, that means you absolutely owe no one. And so now you are at work trying to rebuild your credit. The first thing I suggest with that is make sure that you're tracking your spending, for one. And to reestablish credit, you need to establish a good relationship with your financial institution, be it a bank or credit union, and put together some money aside and get a secured credit card where you put up your money for instance, $500, the bank will hold your $500 and give you a secured credit card. Any purchases that you make with that secured card is still your money. No matter what happens, it's still your money. So you make a purchase against the money that you have in the bank on your secure card, and it works just like a regular credit card. No one knows it's a secure card except for you and the bank. So you can go and make your purchases with that, but here again, like I said, make sure that you are wise in whatever purchases you make. So you do that for 6 months. Then once you do that, open up another one that is secure. You're going to be able to take out a unsecured card also, because they're going to be offering you an unsecured card by other financial institutions and credit card companies. But here's the thing. Make sure, because you do want that too, but you make sure that you read the fine print. I mean, and comb through it like a fine-tooth comb to make sure that those rates work for you. And when you get that unsecured card from all of the credit card companies, because you will get the offers, that you use that card very sparingly, because you do want to reestablish credit. So I do suggest that you do use it. But when you use it, do not use more than if the rule is 20%. I say you shouldn't even use 10% of your credit limit. You should use a little bit of it, maybe every 3 months. Buy something, pay it off right away, because you're reestablishing your credit. So for the first 6 months, that's what you want to do. Buy something, pay it off right away. Then you can buy something that may be a little pricey, but make sure that it's not over 20% of the limit. And you can break those up into maybe two payments or three payments, equal payments. Do not even pay any attention to the minimum payment, because that's going to be highlighted. You don't want to go back into the same trap. So in order to keep yourself out of the trap, you need to utilize your secured cards, because that is your money. Don't max out that either, because they are tracking you and how you spend and what you spend things on and how much of your limit you are using. So you need to make sure that you are very, very clear on that. So we will go on to more tips about that. We only have 2 minutes left of streaming off of Blog Talk Radio. So before I let you all go that are streaming and the ones that are in the chat room, I want to make sure that I tell you about the Secure Your Life Credit Repair class. That will be a webinar class that will happen for 6 weeks, where we actually take you step-by-step guided instruction with reference tools. You'll learn how to analyze and understand your credit report, stop any collection agents from calling you and harassing you at home or work. You'll learn steps on how to remove negative information from your credit report. All of this is legal, and it's like a do-it-yourself guide with an instructor. So, and then after you do that, then we'll show you how to renegotiate your debt for pennies on the dollar. So visit the website. You get more information, more tips and everything on personal finance, credit repair, and other helpful tips and articles. Go to www.secureyourlife, that is S-E-C-U-R-E, your is Y-O-U-R, life is spelled L-Y-F-E.net, so that's secureyourlife.net, and go on the website and you get helpful tips on the stuff that we talked about on the show, more in-depth instruction, and sign up for the webinar class. It's coming soon, beginning in October. So, I am encouraging you all to take care of your financial health and get out of the financial nightmare and take control of your future. We will see you next week For more helpful tips on how to save money, how to help your personal finances, and how to secure your life. I want to thank you all for joining me. We're going to continue, for those of you all who are not streaming, the conversation will continue on. But for those of you all who are streaming, I'd like to thank you for joining us, and I will see you next week. Okay, Ron, back to what you were talking about. We're going to continue and talk about other things that we can do to help those of us who are trying to establish credit and those of us who are trying to reestablish credit. I think that's where we left off on the people who are trying to reestablish credit. It is very important because, unfortunately, we do live in plastic land where you do have to use some form of credit if you want to, you know, establish a credit history, if you want to finance anything, whether it be a car, a house, or anything like that. You do need to have a good credit history. So even if you damage it, you can fix it. And that is important that we do look into trying to help people to fix what is broken. And for those of you who are just starting out with trying to establish credit, that is a great thing because you have an opportunity to start off correctly and get a one credit. So, Ron, if you'd like to chime in on how to acquire and how to maintain a good, healthy credit history.
Okay. First, I think you should, as you said, hey, get yourself established with some shops as far as, say establishing and different accounts with them. You get some charge accounts at different shops. I would say basic things, you should really start out with just one.
Yes.
Start out with just one shop. Try to get a store that has this general merchandise. If they got general merchandise, it means they have some of everything in there. So you can use your account with them and get just about anything you need or want. And from high end to low end.
Right.
And once you get yourself established with them, hey, as you said earlier, get something that really doesn't cost that much and make two or three payments on it, get that out of the way, and then wait a couple of months and then use the card again. Don't just go back to back just because they'll give you the credit. Of course they're going to give you the credit. They want your money.
Exactly.
Right, but if you make a purchase, you first thing you do before you figure out what your first purchase is going to be. How much is that first purchase going to cost? How many notes will you pay? How much money will you pay before you pay this off? You want to get something that you can pay off, say, with at least three payments. No more than three payments. You want to make at least three payments, which means you're going to make a purchase, and you're not going to use that. You're not going to buy anything else from that store using that card anyway for 3 months. You want two or three months to pay for it. So you get something, figure out how much you're going to pay, how much it's going to cost you for that 3 months. That way you know how much of your income is going to go out for that particular purchase.
Right.
Okay, you know how much of your income is going to go out for that particular purchase. Let's say, make it a round number, let's say you got something for $100. Okay, you say like, okay, let's see. If I paid my first payment, I would pay them, say, like $30. The next payment,
okay.
I said
okay.
And the next payment, I would pay $45. The third month roll around, when that bill comes in, hey, I knock it out. Now you're clear. You don't owe. After you make that payment, and you wait a couple of weeks, and then you go and you use the card again. But again, it's the same procedure.
Right.
You're getting goods, and you're looking for the deal on what you're purchasing. You're looking for a deal on what you're purchasing, and like you said about them attracting you. Once you get yourself established, you'll look up, and everybody and their mother will be sending you letters trying to get you to do business with them.
Correct. And you need to be careful of that. I mean, as flattering as it might sound, that those are still traps, because you don't want to get into a position where you're living a financial nightmare. So, you know, you want to make sure that you keep your debt-to-income ratio under control.
If you don't have the money, if you don't have the money in the bank, don't spend it.
Right.
Yeah,
don't have it, don't buy it.
This is how you people end up by, as you were saying, living off their credit cards.
Right. And sometimes, depending on the situation, especially with the economic situation being as it is today, where a lot of people are finding themselves who had great jobs now unemployed because their high-paying jobs laid them off or downsized. So until you get back on your feet, you had a great track record as far as paying your bills off on time and everything. But so you're forced to literally use your credit, but that's what it's there for. See, if you were smart enough not to abuse it when the going was great, then now that the going is tough, you can actually make things work for you if you find yourself in that position. But if the situation was one where you had a great job, but you were abusing your credit, so that now that you need it, you can't use it.
Well, I think what a lot of people were doing is that, okay, as I said before, now what I do personally, when I use a card, the money's in the bank.
Right.
I could have written a check. I could have gone to the bank and got the money. But I decided to go on and use the card. Now, the thing being is that what a lot of people were doing that are in hock up to their rear ends is this. What they did, they used their cards, and at the same time they were using the cards, they were actually spending the money that they had in the checking and savings accounts.
That is correct.
The money was coming in good, it worked. The money was coming in good, and it worked. But what they found themselves doing, they were forever going into situations where they were pulling money out of the savings account to put it into the checking account because the checking account was getting depleted.
That's true.
Okay. When the job goes up, everything goes down. They've got no money in the bank. And the only thing they get is credit.
Right.
That's bad news.
And it is. It's very unfortunate news, but that is what has happened to a lot of people.
Right.
They're finding themselves, and like you said, they did not have the discipline when it was time of plenty. They weren't disciplined, and they went run amok with their credit. So therefore, when it's time that of lack, then they're having a hard time because of the fact that they did not take care of things the right way when money was coming. So, you know, so if you find yourself in that situation, the first thing you need to do is try to get off of the merry-go-round. You need to look at and track your spending. That's the first thing. And then discipline yourself enough to realize that needs and wants are two different things. Make sure that you take care of your needs first. Never sacrifice a need for a want. But see, just because you see something and it's on sale does not necessarily mean that you're supposed to get it. You need to make sure that you take care of your needs. And then once your needs are met, then you can get some of your wants. But all of your needs have to be met first. So if you have to live off your credit, make sure that you're spending it wisely on the things that you need, not the things that you want. Because at that point, you don't have the luxury to spend like you used to. So you need to rethink things through, and you also need to discipline yourself so that you won't fall into the same trap of buying into the lay-awake plan. We don't want to be on the lay-awake plan. We don't want to lie awake and try to worry about how we're going to make ends meet. So with that, I'm going to give our closing remarks real quick and let you all know about the credit repair class. For those of you who were living on or are living a financial nightmare and you would like to take control of your financial future, Secure Your Life is giving a six-week credit repair class that will be starting soon. You can go to the website. That's www.SecureYourLife.net, and that is spelled S-E-C-U-R-E, that's secure, and then your, Y-O-U-R, and life is spelled L-Y-F-E.net. So that's www.SecureYourLife.net. There are a lot of good, great tips on credit, personal finances, and you'll get information about the classes that are coming soon. Now, the six-week class is a step-by-step instructional guide with reference tools that will hold your hand through the whole process of you repairing your own credit. So you'll learn how to analyze and understand your credit report, how to stop the collection agencies from calling and harassing you at home and work, learn step-by-step on how to remove negative information from your credit report. You'll learn how to negotiate your debts for penny on the dollar. So, and all of this is made so that you all can get back on track and get your, you know, secured personal finances together so that you can have a great life. And you know, learning how to rethink on how you look at your credit and how you look at money. So we help you with that whole process. But you need to, I'll explain to you the differences in other credit repair classes and other credit repair kits. We'll explain all of that. We'll also explain to you what's the difference between whether or not you should file bankruptcy or not. We are not an attorney by no means, but so we do not in no way suggest that you don't talk to a professional. You need to talk to a professional. That's why we always say that your personal banker is should be your best friend, and this does not in no way take away any of the fact that you should definitely seek legal advice if that is your situation. Please do that. It's not a substitute for that. So anything that you read is definitely not a substitute for getting the proper professional to work with you. So you need to seek legal advice if you feel that your credit is so damaged that you need to file bankruptcy. But we'll go through that whole process with you in the class to see exactly how much of it you can clear up yourself before you even talk to an attorney. Because a lot of the things that they will charge you for, you can do yourself. You can start the ball rolling. And then after you've cleaned up all that you can, and if you're still a sinking ship, then you can definitely seek out professional help, get an advice of an attorney, or an accountant, so that you can manage and track your personal finances while you are trying to clear up your credit or clean up your credit. So until next week, I want to thank you, Ron, for calling in to the show. I want to thank all of my guests for listening, all of those that are in the chat room, and those of you who will be listening to the show later as an archive or a rebroadcast. I would like to thank you again for listening in. And if you want any tips or learn anything and you would like to have comments or questions or whatever, you can email the show and me at diamond@secureyourlife.net. That is D-I-A-M-O-N-D at secure, that's S-E-C-U-R-E, your, Y-O-U-R, and life is spelled L-Y-F-E .net. And that is the email address that you can email me any comments or questions. And again, visit the website, join the forum, or part of the blog, and that's www.secureyourlife.net. Sign up for the 6-week webinar class. You will not regret it. Regardless if you have credit issues or not, this is an informational session where you'll gain some information that you can definitely use, and understanding what's on the credit report, how to dispute things that are on your credit report, and we go through each and every item to show you how to dispute it. We give you the letters to do that. So there's certain information that you may not get bits and pieces on the show, that the class will actually walk you step by step on how to fix whatever is on your credit that needs to be disputed. And then also, once you've done that and cleaned up that part, anything that needs to be negotiated for pennies on the dollar, any of your debt, once you're ready to take that step, we walk you step by step on how to do that also. So until next week, thank you, Ron.
And thank you for having me.
Okay, and I will talk to you all next week at 10 o'clock, where we will help you understand the importance of credit, what it means to your financial future, if you are living a financial nightmare, how to fix what is broken. And again, I am your host, Diamond Taylor. So don't cuss, don't fuss. Remember, credit is a must. And until next week, see you later.